Welcome, everybody, to the Ricardo's Rules of Resilience podcast, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand or recover from difficulties. I'm your co-host, Coach Alton, and I'm joined by
Coach Ricardo.
All right. Today, we're going to be getting into the name of the podcast, the Rules of Resilience. So we got seven of them today. We're going to be going over the first two. They're kind of a 1A, 1B. They kind of correlate with each other. So as the founder and creator of these rules, tell us a little bit about them, Coach.
Well, I came to these rules because a number of years ago, I got into the fitness industry as a result of my own story. I had been overweight, obese for about a decade, and I was turning 40, and I was very discouraged. You might even probably almost depressed, just hopeless in my ability to get this weight off. And of course, that comes with all kinds of pain and lack of energy and different things that come with carrying all that extra weight around. And I, by the grace of God, met Travis Barnes, who helped me lose 40 pounds and really just helped change my life. And a number of years later, I decided that's what I wanted to do for others. And so I got into this fitness business, and I opened a franchise, a Journey 333 franchise. And over and over again, as I was helping people lose weight, get in shape, get off medications, gain mobility back, you know, we would go through a process where, you know, there'd be excitement, but then there would be hard times. And we'd get into these hard times, and I would need to help people process through them and give them kind of mental hooks to put things on, just little sayings or things that would help them to be able to reframe what they're thinking so that they would be able to be successful and get through the hard times. And I found that I would be having the same few themes over and over, a number of themes that would just keep popping up as we're talking people through the hard times that they would go through. And one day I was preparing, it was my turn in our professional group. It's called a mastermind. And we present together different fitness professionals all around the country. And it was my turn to present. And I decided to make this list of rules that I could share so these other fitness professionals could benefit from some of these sayings that I had been using for some time to help people recover and withstand or recover from these difficulties that they were having. And so I formalized it and put it into a presentation called Ricardo's Rules of Resilience. It was super well received, and so much so that I have decided to, we even have put it on t-shirts to help our clients be able to remember. And you've got one right there. Yeah, that's our 20 workout t-shirt with the rules on it so that people have these sort of mental hooks of, okay, yeah, I got to get my mind right. I got to get refocused. I got to remember these things are going to help me be able to withstand this difficulty, recover from this difficulty on my fitness journey.
Awesome. That's great stuff. So let's get right into it. So that first rule is something is better than nothing. Very powerful statement right there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, rules one and two are kind of corollary. They're kind of almost an A and B. They go together so well. And rule number one is really the antidote, or sort of the rule number two, or the how-to with rule number two. But it's just so important that people realize that something's better than nothing every time. Every time, something's better than nothing. It's amazing how much we get into this thinking, well, if I can't have an A++, it's not worth doing. And let me tell you, in fitness, that is just, actually in most of life, but definitely in fitness, that is absolutely not true. It's when we get into that all or nothing thinking that if I can't have the A++, then I might as well not even do it. We get self-defeated, and that's how we get stuck. And so we have to remember that doing something is better than nothing. Something beats nothing every time.
Yeah, that's a great saying. Definitely a great principle to live by. And you see a lot of times with people, they'll come in and for their workouts, they're doing great. But then sometimes they might have resilience, like with terms of like maybe they have to leave early to go for work. And then in their mind, they're thinking, well, it's not even worth coming in for the workout. But that is not the way to think about it. Even if it's just 30 minutes of movement and working, that's what, 300% better than 0 minutes, or what, 3 million? I'm not
I'm no mathematician, but
the
I'll say a 30-minute workout's about 3,000,000% better than a 0-minute workout.
Exactly.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I believe this so much. Now, I'm not talking about people who are just chronically late because they're lazy, but I'm talking about when someone shows up late for a workout, who's normally on time or early. And they come in, I will actually say over the microphone so that everybody can hear, there's an overcomer right there. Because I know that when, whatever happened, they got out of work late, they bought, they had a problem picking up their kid at school, or they had a flat tire, or whatever stupid thing happened that made them late, they were forced right there in that moment to make a choice. I can either bail on this workout, or I'm going to push through and I'm going to get there and I'm going to get the best I can. I'm going to get something, and something's better than nothing. So I'm always proud when people come in, and I celebrate them coming in, because something is going to beat nothing every time.
And one thing you'll find, and one thing I love to reiterate with members when I'm working with them, is that consistency is what's going to drive those results. So maybe you come late for the workout due to the craziness of life, right? So many different things can happen. But that consistency and getting your body in there is just continuing. More consistent you are with it, the more you're getting that ball rolling in the right direction, and the more unstoppable you become, right? But if you take a workout off, you're slowly working your way the opposite direction, right? You're building up towards the other direction, rather than, even if it isn't a perfect workout, which we'll get to into with the second rule, but you're moving in the right direction, building that consistency, building those habits that are really going to pay off in the long run and pay dividends with your fitness journey. So I kind of alluded to it with that, but what is that second rule for us?
Yeah, you led us right into it. And again, it's really 1A and 1B, essentially. They're so closely related. And the second one is that the perfect is the enemy of the
I
good.
love that.
That's why something is better than nothing, by the way. They just fit together. The antidote to the perfect being the enemy of the good is something's better than nothing. But too many times in fitness, our efforts are just killed. And actually in life, once you start seeing this in your life, you'll see it everywhere, and you'll see it destroying you. But the key to resilience, to being able to withstand and recover from difficult things, is the ability to realize that the perfect will kill the good. The perfect is the enemy of the good, and it will kill the good. And I'll give you an example so that it makes more sense. Maybe if you see a concrete example. There was one time I was in the weigh-in room, and I asked someone if she food journaled. And this is actually similar to many, many hundreds of conversations I've had, but I'm thinking of one in particular at the moment. And if she had food journaled, and she said, "No, it takes too long." I said, "What are you talking about? It's a minute a meal. You just, pick it and stick it and go." And she said, "Well, I try that, but I can never find my food." I said, "What are you talking about? My fitness pal, I mean, you could think of Bavarian tacos or something. Somebody can put that thing in there, And she says, "Well, I went to look up my bread, and I had an artisan bread, and it wasn't in there." And I stood right there. I pulled my phone out of my pocket, and I typed in artisan bread. Sure enough, there were at least seven of them that popped up. And she said, "Well, but none of those are my brand." I said, "Who cares if it's the brand you ate, right? The perfect is the enemy of the good." And she wanted to argue with me, and she was saying, "Well, if I don't have exactly my brand in there, then what good does it do if I'm not doing it exactly right?" And I said, "That is a perfect example of the perfect is the enemy of the good, because you couldn't find exactly to the T the right brand that you wanted to put in there. Then you got frustrated and you quit. The perfect just killed the good. If you would just food journal and just pick the closest thing and get it done in 1 minute, then you would be so much further along than not for food journaling at all. And you know, you're upset by the way, this weigh-in today, and this is the result because the perfect just killed the good. And I guarantee you, if you would just start food journaling, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just find the thing that's close and do it, and it's going to get there. I mean, something is going to be better than nothing every time.
Yeah, and I'll let you guys in on a little tip. Life is never going to be perfect. There's always going to be something in the way, whether it's you could have given a little bit more effort or something. Just a lot of things are going to be out of your control that make it life imperfect, and there's nothing you can do about it. That's why you got to keep on working and getting something in, and not allowing that to ruin and make sure that you get nothing in, right? Because like the first rule, something is better than nothing every time, right? And a great example of someone actually following this rule, we had a member come in and she'd had, I can't remember whether she was on a retreat or a family vacation for the weekend, a little getaway, but she kind of knew her weighing wasn't going to be the greatest. She food journaled, but she knew the food she was getting in weren't the best. And she weighed in and to no surprise, she went up that week, right?
She do it,
But
but she weighed in anyway.
she weighed in, whereas what she could have done is not weighed in because, oh, I wasn't perfect over the weekend, right? And then that can result in not weighing in the next week and the week after that. And then all of a sudden, you're completely off track with
That's
your
right.
fitness journey. But instead, she got that weighing in, got that hard news out of the way. And then the next week for her, when she weighed in, she lost 8 pounds and was our biggest boulder mover. It's a great story of overcoming that resilience. And I think had she not weighed in, she probably wouldn't have seen that 8 pound weight loss because she wouldn't in her mind have realized that she would that weigh-in where she had gained weight was kind of a wake-up call, and she really locked in with the things that she needed to that helped her make that transition. Whereas wish if she hadn't weighed in, she would have had no idea. In your mind, you can play games with yourself and tell yourself things that aren't true, but that scale isn't going to lie to you, right? So
And
that's
we've seen that so many times, and it's number one way. You just said it, and I want to reiterate it for everybody. You can't skip weigh-in day because that very reason, you're not going to see your progress from one week to the next. And you're in that stinking thinking of, oh, well, I didn't lose, or I might have went up, so that's no good. The perfect just killed the good. The good is for you to make good on your commitment that I will weigh in every week. That is the good thing. It does, you don't have to be perfect and lose weight every week. And when you get into that, oh, I got to be perfect, I got to lose weight every week, or if not, I'm going to skip the weigh-in, and then you're not good the next week. So you skip the next one, and I skip the next one. Then measurement week comes up. Well, what do you do then?
Just skip the measurements,
Skip the
man.
measurement week, and we keep skipping and skipping, and the perfect just killed the good, and it gets you off track. And we have to realize that no, it's not going to happen. Same thing with the food journaling. I mean, I've had so many people come in and they're like, oh, this isn't going to be a good one because I had, ice cream over the weekend or something. And I'll say, well, if that was your 10%, if that was the only thing you had, you're actually going to be fine. And sure enough, they've lost weight. No problem because, as we say in the food journal, they keep it to the 10%. They food journaled it, they kept moving, and they were able to still lose weight. But that being perfect, if you say, well, I can't be perfect, then I'm not going to do it at all. They're like, oh, well, because I messed up, I'm not going to food journal. And then they don't food journal tomorrow. And then they don't food journal the next day. And then you're totally off track because the perfect will kill the good.
Yeah, and that's actually one of our biggest indicators when someone is going to fall off and eventually quit is when they stop doing those weigh-ins every week and then they stop doing the measurements because you're ruining that consistency that you've worked so hard to build up. And then that starts to leak into other aspects. Maybe you start only getting two workouts in instead of three, and then that slips down to one after a little bit, right? It just, you really want to be consistent, even if it's not ever going to be perfect, but
Never.
getting that something in on everything, right? Slowly work. Maybe two of your workouts were in-house, and then you have to do a virtual workout. That's totally fine. You're getting something in. You're getting your body
Something,
moving. You're getting sweaty, burning those calories, right? And you're building that habit.
that's right.
And the main thing is building that habit that's going to pay dividends throughout. That discipline is what's really going to drive you throughout your whole fitness journey and in your life. Really. Is the importance of that.
You know, can we talk about the workouts as it relates to this rule of thinking? I'd really like to focus on that because it's a big deal. The first area is the one you just said, the virtual workouts. I've had so many people tell me, "Oh, well, I've had it both ways." I've had people say, "Oh man, I burn more calories, so I get more MEPs doing the virtual workouts than I do at home." But I've had several people, "I just don't get the same thing out of doing the virtuals." So you didn't do anything? So you didn't get your three workouts? So the perfect, because it wasn't the best, it wasn't the perfect what you could get by coming in, so it wasn't quite as good, so you got nothing. The perfect just killed the good. And well, what's the antidote to that? Something's better than nothing. If you'd have done a 30-minute workout, maybe it wasn't quite as many calories or quite as much out of it as if you would have come in-house, but because you instead chose nothing, well, you got nothing out of it, and something would have been much better than nothing.
Right, that's another great example of the perfect ruining the good. What are some other examples that you've seen through coaching?
Oh, let me tell you, the workouts are a big one. Many people come in and they feel like because they have to take a modification and not do the main exercise that's demonstrated, that they're not going to get quite the same workout. I remember one lady, this broke my heart. She came in and she had a bad knee. And, you know, I told her, "Okay, well, we can work with you. Just got to, you know, we got to just make sure we follow the doctor's orders. And there's certain things you can't do. So you just take the modifications when it comes to that." Well, then she came in, there was something, you know, something that she wanted to do. And so she, I think it was on the box or something. So she hurt her knee. And I said, "Why didn't you take the modification?" "Well, I feel like if I'm not doing the main exercise, then I'm not getting enough out of it." "Well, you, so now you've hurt yourself and you can do nothing. Like, is that really better?" "No, something would have been better than nothing." And, you know, because you had this idealized version in your head that, "Oh, I have to do this exercise, I can't take a modification." Then you do nothing and you sabotage yourself. So the perfect has killed the good because you just refuse to take a modification. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen that a lot. And it's one thing I really admire about people is when they come in, have an injury, a setback, but they continue to work through that. And they, instead of working through the pain, they work to the pain rather, instead of working through the pain, right? They take those modifications and
That's right.
they may not make the same progress that they would healthy, but like I said earlier, and I've said repeated to say, nothing's perfect in life, right? Stuff like that's
Right.
gonna happen. Injuries are inevitable, but you continue. Maybe you don't make progress, but you don't go backwards.
Don't
If
go
you,
backwards.
yeah, if you were to stop, were to stop working out, you'd go backwards, put on weight that you'd work so hard to get off and lose muscle mass, but rather continuing, modifying, and working forward, fighting through that resilience. It's a great thing, and it helps to make you stronger, and it's going to help with that recovery time to make it more swift into getting back to being healthy. And that's something I experienced personally last spring. I had hip surgery and it was a really, really difficult time in my life. I was on crutches for 6 weeks, so it was really hard not to walk, especially because I love getting in the gym, getting after it. But I had to realize I had one of two choices. One, I could allow this to set me back and just stay on the couch, like, well, I can't walk, so how am I going to work out, right? Or my second option was I could do what I could. And that's exactly what I did. I got in there, got in on a plyo box. Sometimes I'd be crutching around in the workouts, but I didn't do something stupid like walk on the hip that I needed to rest on.
Right.
I worked around that and modified it. And I really feel like it helped me in my recovery time. And the main thing, maybe I wasn't getting the greatest workouts like I could when I was healthy, obviously, but it really helped me mentally to become stronger and made sure I didn't fall into a depressive state during that time because it was a very challenging time in my life.
And we see it over and over again. The people that are willing to come in and do the workout on the box, and we carry the weights to them or carry some bands to them and take whatever modifications they have to take, they are the ones who are resilient. They are able to withstand whatever injury it is and fight back rather than, "Oh, I'm just going to freeze my membership because I can't do the full workout." And, you know, no, don't do that. That's letting The perfect kill the good and send you backwards. So you have to be able to accept that the perfect is the enemy of good, and something is better than nothing. So if you're working out on a plyo box and you're seated, and we got to bring stuff to you, it's still way better than you not working out. We have a member who's had a torn ligament in her elbow, and she comes in and she can't do just about anything with her arms. And she takes a foam roller and uses that. And the foam roller might weigh a pound, you know, but she uses that and gets the workout in. Now, is it anywhere near what she was doing before the injury? Absolutely not. But is it a whole lot better than freezing your membership and sitting on the couch and crying about how I can't do workouts? Way better. Something is way better than nothing, right? And she had the mindset to say, I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to let the perfect be the enemy of good. And we have a member who's in right now. She's had foot surgery, and she'll come in and be on. She came in, on that little scooter, and she'd sit down and do the skier because that was about the only thing that she was allowed to do. She'd do that skier and get down on the ground and do sit-ups. And for a while, those were about the only two exercises she could do for several weeks. But she came in and did them, and it wasn't this mindset of, oh, I can't do a full workout. No, she did what she could. She realized something's going to be way better for her than nothing, and she kept going. And those are the people that are successful. I think of a guy who had shoulder surgery, and he took our BFR bands and put on the BFR bands and would go for walks because that was about all he was allowed to do. And he'd go for walks with the BFR bands, and he was off for 12 weeks. And when he was able to come back and be in house when the doctors released him to come back, he had actually not lost any muscle mass from doing that because he was able to keep going. And even though it wasn't perfect, it was still good.
Yeah. And the great thing, like we talked about, you're building that resilient mind, which
Sweet.
is going to pay dividends with your whole life. Like maybe in work, you get laid off or something bad happens. You don't get the promotion you're wanting, or like in the home, in your home, bad things are going to happen, right? But then you're building that resiliency that's going to make you unstoppable in everything, not only in the workouts and physically, just in every aspect of life. It's just going to make you an unstoppable beast with
That's
that.
right. You got to keep going, and you've got to realize you're not going to have the best workout every time. You're not going to have the perfect food journal every time, but something's better than nothing, and don't let the perfect kill the good. You know where I've seen this probably more than anywhere? Do you know the big area where this mindset gets in the way of the perfect killing the good?
I'm not sure where you're going with this, but let's see where it's
And we're
going.
going to DECA.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to argue that one,
No,
are you?
no, no.
Yeah, so DECA, if you don't know, if you're not someone that works out with us or at a DECA-affiliated gym, it's a product of Spartan. Spartan is, the world's largest obstacle course racing. They have their Spartan races that take place in stadiums and outdoors, and it's barbed wire and all kind of cool stuff. And then they also have another product line called a Tough Mudder, which is also obstacle courses, but you get muddy, that's for sure. Super, super duper muddy, even more than a Spartan. And then the third product line, though, is called a DECA, and it's right here in a gym where we were the first DECA affiliate in Indiana. But there's no mud, there's no barbed wire, none of that stuff. You
Keep you
don't.
nice and clean.
You're nice and clean. The only thing you get is sweaty. You do it right in the gym, and it's 10 stations. And people get intimidated by it, and they refuse to try it and say, I'm not ready for DECA. And I'll ask them, well, when are you going to be ready? When you can win a world championship, right? And what are they saying when they're saying, I'm not ready? What do you think they're not ready for, coach?
No, they're letting those excuses get into their mind, I feel like, with that, and letting the perfect be the enemy of good, the good, right? And one of the great things about DECA is that you're able to modify it as well. So maybe you got bad knees or bad hips and you're not able to do the box step overs. You won't get the official DECA mark, so you won't get your name on the leaderboard, but you'll still get that medal and that shirt and that awesome feeling of I crushed that, right? So yeah, that's
And you get to see your improvement next time.
And we've had lots of people have start off modified, where they had to modify the boxes or the lunges, and then eventually they work up to being able to do it without any modifications. And think about how that would feel from going, when looking back
Huge.
on their journey, like, well, when I first started this, I wasn't able to do it unmodified, and now look at me, I'm crushing it without any modifications, and then I'm setting PRs, I'm doing better by minutes and taking that off. It's just
And that's a feeling they never ever would have had if they waited until, oh, well, I've got to make sure that I can complete the whole thing unmodified before I do my first one. That's letting the perfect ruin the good. You're robbing yourself of joy and robbing yourself of that sense of accomplishment of saying, okay, here's where I started. It might have been low when I started, but look at me. Now I'm able to complete it, and now I'm able to knock 30 seconds off or a minute or 3 minutes off. And we've had people even work their way up to being qualified to go to the world championship as they take time off and see what they can accomplish. But they didn't start out their first DECA. Oh, I qualified for the world championship on my first one. No, they didn't wait until they were perfect at it to do it. They said, okay, I'm going to go out there and try it and accomplish it. But what about if they've not been real solid with training for the past month and DECA is coming up? What do you think?
We I actually was talking to one guy. He called that I did a DECA off the couch. So I may not admire, like, not training for it, but I do admire that that mentality of not letting those excuses get in the way of it, and still doing it and trying. And that gives you a benchmark. It shows you, if I could do this, imagine how much better I could do it if I trained and took it more seriously, like dialed in my nutrition and got my workouts in for that.
And even if you had, I think especially actually, when you had been doing really well, and maybe you went through a tough time, maybe you went through some personal issues or an injury or health issues or a tough time at work, and you just weren't, faithful with the nutrition and the exercise like you needed to be. And you're like, man, I'm not going to do as good as I did last time. Don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Get in there. Something's better than nothing. And you want to be able to see where you're at. Okay, last time you did it in 20 minutes. This time you did it in 22, But next time, if you do it in 20 minutes, you'll see, oh, I have improved. Right? I got focused, I got serious, and I have taken that back. But you never will experience that joy and that sense of accomplishment if you let the perfect kill the good and you say, well, I'm not going to nail it. I'm not going to be perfect. I'm not going to lose weight this week, so I'm just not going to do it. Right? Something's better than nothing. That is the key to being able to withstand and overcome difficulty.
Yeah, one saying I love is, it's either day one or one day, right? Or I could be saying, one day I'll do this, I'll do that, right? Or day one of starting, maybe you're not able to do the said goal, but you're working towards it, right? And there really is a real enemy in our lives of excuses. And that's not just only in this area of fitness, in the work world and everything. And the excuses tell you things you can't do. I can't do this. I can't do X and Y or Z, right? And one thing you'll find is, if you start to let those excuses infiltrate you, and, oh, I start to fall off. I'm not going to food journal anymore. That's too much. I'm not eating well. I don't want to log that on my food journal. Or I'm only able to get two workouts in. I'm going to do just one workout, right? And slowly, before you know it, you're back on the couch again and making it, just putting on that weight again. And so we really want to just keep focused. It's not going to be perfect. Just keep trudging through it, working through it, and before you know it, you're going to make incredible progress, right? Just something is better than nothing. I'd love to see, we should have a counter how many times we say that
Yeah,
today.
well, we say it here all the time, and that's why it became Ricardo's rules, because we need to get that into your head to keep doing things. We get this idea that failure is antithetical to success, or the opposite of success. Failure is not antithetical to success. Failure is essential to success, right? It's not antithetical. It's not the opposite of success. Failure is how we succeed, because we find out that didn't work. I've got to find a better way to do this, right? And so we retool and we say, okay, hey, coach, help me out. We go to resources, we figure out, How can I do this in a way that's going to work? Failure is a part of success. We come in, we face that weigh-in. Okay, that was not a good week. All right, what do I need to do different this time? You know, and the famous saying about Thomas Edison, I've actually never been able to find it. He actually said, I didn't find one way to make a light bulb. I found 900 ways not to make one. I didn't fail. I found 900 ways not to make a light bulb. I've never been able to find that actual quote attributed to him, but he did say that, you know, he had had 3,000 different ideas about how to make a light bulb, then different filaments that would work, and he'd scour the earth for 3,000, right? So we have to get into that same mindset, that not being afraid of failure because, oh, I can't have failure. That's not success. No, failure is a part of success. And so I can't let the perfect, that I've got to succeed. I've got to get an A plus. I got to have the perfect workout. I have the perfect weigh-in. I got to have the perfect measurement week, or I'm not going to do it at all. We get away from that. And let me tell you, you're going to be able to withstand the difficult things, and you're going to be able to recover from difficult things a whole lot better if we can just get that mindset.
And one thing I feel like, if you're not failing and not reaching your goals, you're probably not setting your goals high enough. You're kind of selling yourself short and saying, oh, well, instead of striving to be up here, I'm going to set my goals down here. You're remaining comfortable, whether that's with your professional goals or, like we're talking about, with your fitness goals. Like,
That's right.
oh, I'm not going to do a DECA for X, Y, and Z reason, right? You're setting yourself right here when your potential is all the way up here, right? And maybe you don't reach that goal, but just like he said, like Coach said, failure is essential. You're going to learn something about yourself that's going to continue to help you to grow better. So that's why I feel like if you're not failing, you're not trying to your hardest ability. You're remaining comfortable. And if there's one thing you got to do, you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable.
That's a future episode. That's definitely on our list of how our comforts kill us. But when we're setting the bar so low that we would have to sliver underneath, then we know that we're not really pushing ourselves and we're not living our best life. You guys, if you're here training with us, we're glad you're here, and we want this podcast to help you get that mindset of being able to be resilient, to withstand and recover from the difficult things on your fitness journey and in your life journey as well. If you're not training with us and would like to, of course, you're welcome to come work out in-house with us. We also do resilience coaching, kind of like life or success coaching. That's something you can sign up for with us. Even if you're not in a reasonable distance, we're driving here as an option. We can do that for you. If they want to get a hold of us, coach, what's the best way?
So the best way to contact me is through Instagram or Facebook. My Instagram handle is Coach, or not Coach, it's Alton Mullinex 17 underscore, and then on Facebook, it's at Alton Mullinex, and you can reach out to our phone line at 260-723-5333. That's 260-723-5333. What's the best way to contact you, Coach?
You can reach out to me. Yeah, that phone number is great. You can, I'm Coach Dot Ricardo on Instagram or Ricardo Molinax on Facebook.
All right, you guys, thank you for tuning in to Ricardo's Rules of Resilience, the podcast where we give you the tools to withstand or recover from difficulties. Be resilient.